welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile Podcast. If you are new to the pod, well, you're in for a treat because today's guest is one of the most determined and hard-working humans I've ever had the pleasure of speaking to. She's also a two-time Strictly Ballroom champion. She's a TV presenter, a podcaster, a judge on Dancing on Ice, and a panelist on The Masked Dancer. This podcast is all about finding out what makes people tick, their secrets to success, and how and why, when the motivation is at rock bottom, do they pick themselves back up and continue to strive. So take a moment for you. Stick your headphones in and listen whilst we walk and talk. And you know what? You can join us whilst you're on your morning commute or if you're just heading out to get some headspace. Today, we're in London. And I'm delighted to say we are walking and talking with Oti Mabuza.
So good, Amy. I love that introduction.
Oti, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I wish that every day when I walk my dog, that is literally the sound that would come with me. Like, I wish my dog could speak just to introduce me like that into the park. And I'm like, yes, Leo, let's walk.
Good vibes. I can feel the energy. First of all, where are we?
We are close to Greenford, which is where I live.
Nice. But
in a forest. And I really like this area because it doesn't really feel like London or feel like
it doesn't.
Like Northwest London. And my dog on this path gets to choose wherever he wants to go. So I let him off the leash and then he just goes off wherever he wants. And then when we get home, he falls asleep. So helps me as well.
So are you much of a walker?
Now I am. During lockdown, I had to become one because that was the only way to get some fresh air.
Yeah.
And I got my little puppy in lockdown and I wanted to learn a little bit of responsibility.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, and I love dogs and I love cockapoos. So I was like, okay, I have time. Let me do it. And I actually hate walking.
No way.
I hate
walking. And here I am taking you on a massive schlep without your dog. You should have bought the dog.
No, it would be wild.
You could have pulled us up this little hill.
No, so now after getting Leo, I absolutely love it. It's the only way I think I get to relax and breathe and think.
Nice, because you're a busy woman.
Yeah.
Very busy woman.
But not busy as in physically working with jobs. My mind is constantly running and there's no way to stop it except for walking actually with my dog and focusing on him and my husband, of course.
Let's walk the husband as well.
Yeah,
on one lead and the dog on the other. We're doing left here,
no,
are we?
No, we're gonna go straight.
We're going straight on. So you're originally from South Africa.
Yes.
Moved to Germany.
Yes.
What brought you to the UK?
Dancing. I studied engineering in South Africa and I wanted to become a civil engineering. Cue the bridge and design bridges. This is exactly what I wanted to do for a living. But I guess when I was studying, what you think you're going to do and what you're actually doing are not the same. So I was like, this is not what I studied for. So
the course itself was not what you expected.
I don't know why I imagined, to be honest. It's not. But then also, I'd been dancing since I was 4.
That is young.
To become an engineer, you really need to give your life to it.
Yeah.
From the moment you wake up to the moment you go home, and not just weekends, but literally all the time. And you're traveling a lot because you have to build systems, or you need to build houses, or you need to design systems or parks or towns. And so I had to then stop dancing because of the engineering. Yeah. And I did it for about 3 months. And it just didn't work. Like, dancing was who I was. That's something I was doing when I was, who I am actually, when I was 4. So I was like, I can't. And I feel inside of me that there's this calling, this want and need for me to dance and do more with my dancing. So I kind of said to my mom, look, I know you want me to do this engineering thing, but I can't. I really have to dance. And Mutzi was already in Germany at that point. So already I knew a place where I could go and be safe, and if I ever failed, my sister would always be there for me. So then I decided to go to Germany and become a professional dancer, where I met my partner. He then got us to do Strictly in Germany.
No way!
And then in Germany, it's mainly just white dancers. And then so I walked in and they went,
whoa, hello there!
What? What? And I was like, yeah, there's more of us, we exist. And they liked me, and then they didn't know that actually me and Mutsi were siblings, and Mutsi was already on the panel for like 10 years.
No way!
They had no clue. And then they were like, we want her on the show. Did Strictly Germany, and I got spotted by one of the people who do BBC Worldwide. They go all over the world and make sure that all Strictlys are up to a high standard.
Wow.
And the journalist
was
like,
fact. Yeah. Not a lot of people would know that.
Yeah, they need to maintain kind of the standard of the quality of the show.
Yeah.
And he spotted me, and then he gave me a number, and he's like, I think you should write them an email, and I think they'll call you back. And then fast forward,
two months later,
I got accepted into Strictly UK. But it was a long process. Had to audition, had to teach people how to dance, had to speak in front of the camera, had to send in a CV. We needed to have qualifications.
Proper grilling.
Yeah, proper grilling. But because it is the best one, you know, it's the best Strictly in the whole world, really. It's got the best rating. So
is Strictly a BBC original?
Yes, the UK one is the original.
Okay.
It was before that, it was called Come Dancing, and that was also going all over the world, because I remember watching it as a little girl in South Africa.
Look at the fact that you've casually left the studies behind, followed your dream, and moved continents in the process. That's no small feat. Was it purely passion that drove that?
It was. And I think now, growing old, I have another saying.
Old? You are not
old. I'm older than what I was then. I formulated a word for it, and that is, what is the alternative? Whenever I feel stuck, I always ask myself, what is the alternative? Do I stay in the situation where I don't feel fulfilled? I don't feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like I want... what is coming next? I don't feel like there is a next. I have the capability to change it. If I don't, what is the alternative? Do I stay and be content or miserable? Because you can't be more than that. Or find joy within the little things, which really isn't me. Or do I take a risk, fail and fail and fail time again, but then wait for that one moment to come up and that be like, the wow.
The win. Know? The fulfillment.
Yeah. Yes, the fulfillment. That is, there is something greater out there for everyone. There is something greater out there for me. There's more than I can achieve. More goals, more desires, more of a ladder to climb, more of a challenge. Like, I love more is more for me. Like, there's more of a challenge of something that I'm bad at. I want it even more so that I can get better. And if I stay in that situation, what is the alternative? I'll always be there. No growth.
No growth.
It's never vertical. It's always just horizontal. There's no fulfillment. It's just you doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And yet you might master it, but are you?
Yeah. Is it going to fulfill you?
Yeah.
Something I've found in my career and the transition that I've been going through the last few years is that the process and taking time to look at the process and appreciate it is sweeter than the win at the end.
Yes. So, like, for anything that I've achieved, whether it be away from my career, it's always been hard. And it's always easy to also dramatize how hard things are. But within its own way, it's always been challenging. And I've always loved that. For example, Strictly, my favorite time is that Monday to that Friday, because you're building from scratch. You are working hard, you are fulfilling yourself, you're challenging yourself. How am I gonna make this person do what they need to do and make them feel good and look good by Saturday night? The Saturday night is the cherry on top. The winning is the cherry on top, but the building, the hard work, that for me was my favorite.
And it's such a short space of time as well to actually, essentially, polish a turn.
That's what your words, not mine. but yeah, it is, you don't have a lot of time, and there's a lot of pressure, and there are a lot of people who are watching, and there are a lot of people that are counting on you and your celeb to do well, because it's their career. They're hoping that Strictly is gonna jumpstart them and take them to another level.
You know what I mean?
And they want to do it. They want to give you everything. So all of that combined, you want to kind of make their diamond really shine.
I love that. And seeing as we've gone there, we've got to tap into Strictly because it's about to kickstart.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've stepped away from that now to pursue other dreams, which we'll get onto. But looking at the season ahead, Strictly must just be ingrained in the blood. Will you be watching your fellow friends and competitors?
My sister's on there. It's one of those shows that, for me especially, being coming from a dancing background and moving to the UK, knowing what dance has done for me, for my family, for my friends, for my community, for my country, Strictly is another side of dancing. There are many sides of it, but it's one side that is a part of the people, I guess, of the country. They see it as one of those shows that you're kind of gonna set an alarm. I need to go home.
To
put the kids in bed. Yeah, people do that, and you're kind of a part of that, which is which is what is nice. But also because it's done so much personally for me, I really do appreciate it.
That's awesome. To come away from it and still have that same level of respect and excitement.
100%. Like, I wouldn't be on this podcast if it wasn't for that show. I wouldn't have my friends. My sister is here. I mean, I still have my sister. But yeah, like, my sister and I wouldn't see each other so regularly because we're so ambitious and live in completely different countries. But because of that, it made us see each other a lot more.
Got to ask then, who do you think's likely to do well this year?
To do well?
Yeah.
The thing is, what does well mean? Like,
what is well? I suppose,
like, if you look at Katya and Ed Bowles, didn't win, but my God, we will never forget that. Do you know what I mean? Yes, they didn't win, but they did really, really. It almost didn't matter who won that year because that's all you remember. Gangnam Style, he always dropped her in...
Fondled her. Did you see that the other day?
The one. He almost dropped her in the American Smooth. They had so many... They did a cha-cha, I remember, to Love Potion number 9. I remember that. So what as well, Amy?
I suppose see it right the way through to the top to lift that trophy like you've done twice.
Okay, then who do I think will do that? I don't know who I think will win because there are about 7 who I think will be amazing. I think Helen Skelton, I think these are also friends of mine. Kim Marsh, Helen will do well. I think whoever's partnered with Kachi actually will always do well. There's so many, man.
There's too many good ones.
There's so many. The thing is, also, I haven't seen any of them dance. Ask me after week 3.
Okay.
Because usually week 3 is the big.
So there you go. Yeah. That was your Strictly goss.
Yeah, ask me after week 3, and then I'll be like, okay, I'll inbox you.
Ambition and drive is clearly something that's ingrained within your mentality. Starting dance at such a young age, I mean 4, would you say that's helped shape and form the discipline and approach you have to everything else that you do now?
I think as a dancer, a young girl from South Africa, especially with what South Africa was like 1994, didn't really have a choice. You had to be disciplined, you had to be focused, and I'm not saying I'm this angel Serena Williams girl who was like training in the rain.
Excuse me, you came from Pilates this morning? Box check that. How's that for a bit of morning routine?
No, but I mean, you had to be, otherwise, again, what is the alternative of being in South Africa? We have a lot of gang violence, we have a lot of teenage pregnancy, we have a lot of diseases, we have a lot of people who have just failed in life and given up, really, and they don't feel supported. So dance for me and my family and my community was the one thing that had this promise at the end of the rainbow. If you're really good and you really give it everything, you're able to leave your town. If you're really good, you'll be able to get a new pair of shoes. If you're really, really good, then you can fly in the air for the first time. For us, dancing was that thing that gave us the ability to see a goal. And we knew that when we were training, we would gain a lot. So yeah. I think even with Strictly or outside of Strictly, it was put in our mentality from a young age that if you're good, you're going to receive something, because we could leave Pretoria, we could leave South Africa, we could land in Germany, we could be on big shows like that. You can leave Germany and come to the UK. That was put in our minds, and we understood from a young age that you had to be disciplined. Yeah. As much as I wanted to hang out with my friends and go to like camps and parties and hang out with the boys, I was like, if I do that, I'm gonna miss out on the championships, and then I'll never get to go to Finland. Yeah. When else am I gonna ever get the opportunity to go to Finland? My parents can't afford that. As much as I wanted to just do any other sport, like I love tennis, terrible at it, but loved it. Dancing was the thing that I was really good at, had trained long hours for, and I knew that these things were achievable if I worked hard, and I had to be focused. Also, it's very, very competitive, extremely competitive, which excites me so much, because I believe that competition brings out innovation. It makes you smarter, it makes you faster, it makes you think outside of the box, around the box, it makes you take the box away and throw it away and be like, screw the box, I'm just gonna think.
Oh, I love that. I love the innovation part of that. There's the civil engineering coming
in too. Yeah, because you think, how am I gonna beat that person? How am I gonna be better than that person? But in my own way, how am I going to pave the way for girls that are gonna come after me, before me, who are at the same level? I mean, how are we gonna challenge each other? And I think that's what competition brings, and then that's why I love competition. I think of my best when I'm being challenged, like, you know, when you do that little,
yeah,
it's that. So we had to be competitive, we had to be ambitious. Those dreams were the things that were gonna stop us from doing bad stuff and channeling our focus into what we want to achieve.
It's so incredible to hear you speak like so passionately about dance and how it's essentially opened up your world. Mm-hmm. But as someone now that's had a really long career, achieved all of the things that there is to accomplish within your sport or artistry, mm-hmm. how have you managed to preserve that passion? Because I know a lot of athletes that have competed at the highest level really do have a love-hate relationship with their profession, because they've given their soul to it.
That's so true, actually, you say that. I opened a dance school with my husband, because it was really our dream when we were competing. And I was doing Strictly, and I had the school, and then something in me was like, okay, I think I'm done with Strictly. Which then turned into, I'm done with dance. Like,
fair.
At that point, like I'm done,
yeah.
Okay? Now I really wanna go into presenting, I really wanna do broadcasting. That's my new challenge, the thing that I'm starting from zero. It took me 28 years to
be a dancer. I'm here for you.
It took me 28 years to be the dancer that I am. I've got another 20 years, I've got time. But I needed to slightly step away from this to do this. And so it meant being less at the school, because the school reminded me of something that I repeatedly said I was done with.
Right.
So that was kind of my love-hate. It was this reminder that you're still a dancer, even though you said you stepped away from it, you're still a dancer. So the school became the thing that I was like, this place just takes me back to where I don't want to be. I would never hate dancing, because I mean, I sing and I dance in the car. But there's always a place, you associated with the place.
Yeah.
And also, being outside here, seeing the trees, clouds, feeling the wind on our skin, that's something that you miss out on when you're training from 10 to 10. You don't...
You're stuck indoors, aren't you?
Yeah.
In the summer for hours on end.
Yeah, not even, like, in the winter is the worst.
No, see, I'd be more bothered about being stuck inside
in the summer. Because you get that light, you're like, yeah, I'm Beyonce, you know? In the winter, you leave home, it's dark, you get home, it's dark.
Oh, that's brutal.
You get 2-3 hours of sun, if that, or it's raining, and you're like, I'm missing out. And I just remember, I think probably the last 2 years, I would just be like, we need to take a break outside. I need to feel that air, that breath. And I was associating the dance studio with not being able to have a life. You know, you have to have a life, which is the thing that my studio then represented. But I don't know why, Strictly always meant like this golden place, but the studio was just like, I really want to go for a walk and like find squirrels and take a dog.
So would you say that you're in a place where you're reigniting that passion, or have you found a balance with it? Because I can speak for myself in that I've had a similar experience with snowboarding, and everybody looks at the sport and they're like, wow, it's amazing, the mountains are your office. Beautiful, right? But when it's minus 40, you've got to hit an icy jump and it's windy. It's not quite what everyone imagines the ticket to be. So for me, I've had to, I suppose, find other ways to express my creative passion through different board sports. So for me, it's like surfing and skating around town and being outside in the warm in the summer. But it's definitely been a growth thing.
I love that. Were you always like, I'm only going to take holidays in like the Caribbean, right?
I mean, I'm slightly still in that phase. I'm like, oh, when can I go away somewhere hot? But there's something churning inside me now, especially as the leaves turn and I'm looking at the winter ahead, and I'm like, yeah, I want to go to Japan. I want to ride powder and I want to do it for my soul. It's just totally different. Competing versus expressing yourself in that environment.
It is that. I guess there are good sides and bad sides to being competitive. When you are competitive and driven, you always have this goal. It gets to a point, I guess, the bad side, where that in itself is too much. I just want to dance. Like, I just want to do a dance class. I want to scream. I don't want to compete with you. I don't want to think outside of the box. I just want to be and do a dance class.
I want to move my body.
I want, you know. And I guess that is for me the thing that changed my mindset with my school.
Okay.
Because now I can bring in classes that I wish I could do. I want to do amapiano. It is one of like the most upcoming South African dance styles that is
cool.
coming up. So I'm like, you know what? Now going into the school will make me go, it makes me go, okay, come on.
Because there's so many different styles that you can now.
Contemporary, hip hop. And we all do it as a group, and we all do it as friends, and we all do it as a combination. And now it's starting to change. It's that side where, okay, fine, my mental stamina, because a lot of people talk about mental health, but mental stamina, which is keeping the positive going.
And that's something that's not easy to do unless you're on a constant positive trajectory. But that's not life, and that's not real. And I beg to differ to meet anyone that is constantly up. On the up.
The thing is, what I try to do, I'm not constantly on the up, but I try.
But we're rising, girl, we're rising.
I try to find things that trigger me. And I always, insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results, I always change things up so that I'm always exciting myself, I'm always challenging myself, I'm always like feeling like, am I good enough? And then finding ways to be like, yes. Yes, you are. And always finding ways that will make me feel good and excite me, initiate that excitement. And with the dancing, it is finding new styles that I can learn from the beginning, styles that I have no idea where they came from, and researching them and then going to where the styles came from and doing, like we do the Paso Doble, but going to Spain, taking a flamenco class with a flamenco expert. It's stuff like that I was never really interested in, I guess, because I was always focused on win.
You know what's cool about hearing you speak and throughout this, what's really evident is your passion for learning and developing. And it doesn't seem to matter necessarily what direction it's in. Like tapping into your presenting now, it's a totally new evolution, right? Which makes it exciting.
It is, but it's that learning thing, and it's something that I guess my dad taught me, to always be a student, always learn.
That's strong.
Always be inquisitive, always be interested, always ask why and how can I. And I've always been brought up like that with my dad. So even with the presenting, it's like, oh my goodness, I never knew I sounded like that.
It sounded like that in
like
what sense?
This is how I would talk normally, you know? Like, I'm it! this is how I would talk.
Belting at the top of your nose.
But for me, that's normal because I grew up in South Africa and we all talk. Like, we're all here. We all laugh here. And then hearing myself speak, and I went, oh my goodness. Like, I had no idea.
You're like, whoa, let's rein it in a little bit.
Come on. You don't have to be up there.
I've also experienced that, in that it's actually about finding the levels. You don't need to be like,
yes,
the whole time.
Yes. No, do you know what it is, actually? I went to Ibiza, Mykonos, and Crete on a crazy party.
Go on.
Birthday month.
Nice. Was it a special birthday?
No, it was just like I've never had August free my whole life.
Ah, incredible.
In South Africa was something, in Germany was something, in the UK there was always something happening in the month of August, big thing.
Yeah.
This was the first August I had free. My God, I went nuts. Like, it was wild. It was
really
wild, the things that we did. And then I lost my voice.
Yeah.
Gone. Gone. I woke up and my husband was like, I know you think you're talking to me.
Like nothing.
Nothing. Like, I was fine like the whole time.
That's not the one.
So now what happens is, if I talk with my normal voice, I run out of air because now I'm pushing.
So it's still damaged.
Like, we went, oh my gosh, we were with like David Guetta, Calvin Harris. It was
casual, just dropping.
No, not with. Oh. We went to their gigs. Oh, I wish I was with them. No, we went to their parties, their gigs.
Wow, the real deal.
I was living my best life. Saw a beach, saw yachts, saw people. I was like, yeah, and I was screaming every day. Partying every day, and my voice left. And so now, if I really project high, I run out of breath.
No way.
Yeah, and it squeaks. And
so then maybe it's worked in your favor. You've retrained yourself.
It's really funny.
Let's take it away, and we'll give it back to you really slowly.
Slowly. When I grew up, when I was growing up, my mom, when we would, like, with me and my sisters, my mom would be like, good morning, and she'd be like, shh.
Why? Because you're
like,
too loud.
You're so loud. Like, why do you need to be like that? Like, I'm right here. Don't scream at me. And now I came home after Ibiza and I'm like, hello. She goes,
she's like, are you okay?
Are you okay?
What's going on?
And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, usually, like, I can't bear it. But now I'm like, okay. And then she actually sat next to me and we were talking and we were kind of like, see, there's power within the silence. Strength within the calmness.
That's strong.
It's funny, but when my voice comes back, I will be out here in the streets screaming.
Belting at the top of your lungs.
Belting.
I've heard you speak quite a lot about your mental approach. You mentioned mental stamina.
Mm-hmm.
The word mental empowerment.
Oh.
What does that mean to you?
Mental, I think, I've never actually heard the word mental empowerment. You've said it, but I feel like I've been mentally inspired and mentally motivated a lot by, firstly, other women.
Let's give the women a shout out.
Let's go.
Where are we going? Let's have a few.
Yeah, well, mom, sisters. I've never had a male boss before.
No way.
Ever. Four channels, really, if you think main channels. Most of them are mostly women. My friends. I have like this really good friends, techies, and she's always like, come on,
yes.
Come on, every time. And if I'm like, I'm so tired, I don't know if I can do it, she goes, no, I rebuke this negativity, send it elsewhere, don't put it out in their world. And she literally, she allows you to be negative, but then she goes, snap out of it, snap out of it.
I think it is important to acknowledge the lows, but then just be like, boom, be gone.
Yeah, because also, I mean, the world is going to beat you up, so don't beat the world to
it's
it.
It's going
to
smack you on the face.
Yeah, don't beat the world to it. Like, you've got a good environment that kind of motivates you. And so, mostly, my mental empowerment would be, I guess, around being women who are in higher positions than me, because there's something about hanging with people that one day you want to be like, or you want to be with, that channels you, because you go, how did you do it? I want to do it. And then you don't have time for the other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have time sometimes for the negative thoughts because I'm focused on that. Like, negativity, you don't matter. I'm focused on that. And if I am feeling low, it's again finding those things that trigger me, that keep me motivated, that put me in a position where I feel like I've got this. And then going back to being focused and trying to achieve the things that I want to do. Yeah. Why are you staring at me like that?
You're so positive. For me to hear it, that's the cool thing about doing this podcast. I get to speak to so many people and everyone has such different visions on it, but I feel like I can relate very heavily to what you're saying. And then I was thinking myself about the people I'm surrounded by, because you mentioned women in your life, women, men, whatever it may be, and how just surrounding yourself with the right people is all it takes sometimes, as long as it's an energy exchange and it's not just a one-way
but it's
transaction.
Also, you have to be careful that the people that are around you also have that desire of growth, also push you, also challenge you, are at a higher position than you, are interested in saying, come on, let's all go up as a unit. If you are put in a position where everybody is okay with where they are and they're comfortable with complaining about their day, their jobs, their family, that can also make you stuck. I can't.
That's not a conducive environment
to any
form of growth or self-expression and development.
If you're not feeding the soil, there's nothing that will root or grow from there. So you constantly have to feed it with
information. Talking about feeding, let's tap into the depths of Monday Mile. Okay. What's your morning routine like? Are you a breakfast person? Are the tunes on? What's the vibe?
I've changed a lot.
Go on.
So at the moment, what I need to wake me up is music.
Okay.
Music.
But what are we vibing to?
At the moment, it's Hamilton. But like a month.
Isn't that in theatres right now?
Yes, which I'm obsessed with. Literally.
I need to go and see it.
When
I'm not
done
to the
with this, I'm going to press play and I'm going to just sing in the car. I love it. But like a month ago, it was like Capital Radio.
Do we get to get any of that right now?
Do you want?
Yeah, we'd love that. Just give us a couple of lines.
Do you want me to sing?
You just claimed that you were going to sing in the car.
I don't know the words. So I was putting the lyrics on. New York, you can't be a new man. Anyway,
so we're waking up to that. It's high energy. I like it.
Yeah.
Are you coffee? Are we brekkie?
Probably dancing in the kitchen. Breakfast.
Nice.
Do you want to know what I have for breakfast?
Yeah, we'd love to know.
It changes. Sometimes I do like old bran flakes.
Bran flakes?
Yeah, my favourite.
Really?
My favourite.
I'm surprised by that. I was expecting something really executive, like some sort of like poached eggs and avocado.
No,
straight in on the cereal.
Cereal. And I'll go to hotels and like a Holiday Inn and I'll like steal the box.
Brilliant.
And then I'll put them in the house.
The little ones?
Yeah. So with the little ones, you know how you usually put sugar in cereal?
No, I used to put cream on my cereal when I was younger. Weetabix, cream, and then like milk around it.
I've never had that. Always sugar for us. Brown sugar.
Really?
So now I've decided, because it's already so high in sugar, I just put the yellow ones on top. What are they called?
What?
Kellogg's. Cornflakes.
Oh.
The yellow ones. Wait, the corny one.
Wait, you mean the sugary ones?
Yes.
Oh, so you've got a layer of bran flakes.
And then I just
take
a little bit.
Have you got a layer of, it's Frosties, I think.
Yeah, Frosties,
the sugary
just
ones.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
And that's my like sweetness. And that's what I'll have.
Really?
That's my breakfast. That's my favorite type of breakfast.
Nice.
That's what I'll make for myself. My husband makes for me is completely different.
What does he make?
He does the full palau. Like he goes sausage, bacon, eggs, toast, avocado, peppers. Oh, if somebody's serving it to you in bed.
Yeah, true.
In a tray and be like, good morning.
As long as I didn't have to do anything afterwards. If I had to dance or run or do anything physical for that matter, the sausages and the bacon can stay to the side. I'll take on your bran flake frosty hash mash. There you go.
There we go.
That's the name of it.
Yeah. So then I eat that quickly. And then I'll go to work.
Would you say you've got a routine?
No.
Your work changes all the time. Have you found a way to install a little bit of calm and structure into that ever-changing movement of what you do?
No.
It's really hard,
isn't it? It's so hard. When you're filming, like we're doing Dancing on Ice, that you start already at like 9 o'clock. We're at the studio.
9 a.m.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Yeah. And then you're filming that until the show ends. You need to keep your energy up because it's a live show.
Yeah.
When I'm doing the mask dance, it's the same thing. It's not live, so it means I can go as long as they want because they'll cut around it. So you get there again 9 or 8 in the morning, and you'll finish and get home at about midnight. So
yeah.
To say I have a routine, you can't. It's one of those things you prepare stamina wise to be able to last that whole day or you die. You lose your energy.
Do you look at that day, for example, you know you've got a really big day or
yeah.
2 or 3 days coming up. Do you have a strategy going into it on how to preserve your energy? Or do you just
I go for it
living ever presently.
Full in the moment, I just go for gold. Literally just go for gold. Just go straight. Yeah, I don't have like a strategy, and I guess with the shows that I'm working on now, it's really about my expertise and being myself.
That's awesome. Work doesn't get any better
yes.
than being yourself.
Yeah.
When you can rock up and be unapologetically you,
yeah.
and that's what they've booked you for,
yeah.
that's when you're living.
Yeah, and the environment, I guess, must dance out this side. I have Jonathan, funniest man. Have Davina, super Mrs. Motivator.
She's like the combination.
Oh my god, you should have Davina on the podcast. She is insane. You're wild, I'm wild. Davina makes us look
Time.
Like kittens.
Kittens.
Like kittens that have just been born, and I'm like Davina. Like you hear her before you see her.
Wow.
And she comes out bigger than life, and she's got like this radiant, I'd say like golden energy, you know, people give
yeah,
off
yeah,
energy
yeah, yeah.
She's got this golden
and that is so attractive yeah. to be around, isn't it?
And she goes ouchie, and you're like yes Davina, just amazing, just an incredible woman to be around. And then you have Jonathan, who's super
yeah.
super ultra cool,
low-key
but witty, and all the time like ouchie, I don't care, I don't have to work as hard as you, you know, like I'm good.
I'm chilling.
I'm funny, and that's enough. I'm with people that I enjoy, because then I can be
yeah.
cool with him and make jokes, and then I could be like, yes, Davina, let's go, full on motivated. And then Peter as well, who's like focused, but is still a bit like, what the hell is going on?
What is this
show? Am I watching a tomato dance? Yeah.
That's freaking awesome. In terms of, you know, you're surrounded there, some of the people you've just mentioned, by greatness. Dance has given you an incredible platform, and
Excellent.
I think it's fair to say it brings you into the public eye, and,
yeah.
and people are interested. You've gone like, whoo, boom. You know, the growth is exponential. How have you managed to stay so grounded, so humble, and true to your roots? What's the key to that success?
My family.
My family
don't care about that.
They're like, girl, get back home, come
literally,
and see us.
They're like, who do you think you are? Go put the dishes back in the dishwasher. In fact, go wash the dishes, we don't care. My sister's still like, you know when sisters do that thing to
oh,
you?
No.
Like they push you by the head? She still does that when I get home. My husband is like, no, we all work from a young age. Dad and mom always said, you have to be humble. You have to be grateful, because these things that you're doing, we didn't even dream about. This wasn't even something that we were allowed to dream of. It didn't even come up in
yeah,
our imagination.
It's not even a vision that you
no,
can forecast.
No.
Now it is, because you're living it,
now,
right?
Now
Where
I'm
can
living
I take it?
It? Yeah, so they're saying to me, it doesn't matter what you get. It doesn't matter how big you get. It doesn't matter who knows you. Just remember to be humble, and a lot of people are not in your position. They don't have the things you have. Don't ever, ever brag. Appreciate what you have and be thankful for the people that got you there, because no one gets there by themselves.
They don't.
No one. It takes one person to believe in you. It takes a team to be convinced to like you and be like, we're going to invest in you. So always, always, always be grateful. And it's my family that constantly remind me of that.
They sound solid. I want to meet your dad. Your dad sounds like
he's really shy. Mom and dad, really, really shy. Mom is ambitious, man. And she's like fierce.
I got it from my mom.
Yeah, I got it from my mom. When she doesn't like something, man, she's a Cancer. So really
Same as
calm.
Me.
Yeah, really calm. But get on the wrong side, it goes.
Boom.
So yeah, like like that snap, I'll cut you. Yeah, so I get that, and my dad is a Scorpio, which is another little shy animal that
Savage.
Is quite dangerous, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's in their personalities, and I guess we learn from them.
When you were in Ibiza, Mykonos, Crete, did you pinch yourself at any moment and go, dance has given me this opportunity?
All the time. Even when I am there, people go, we know who you are. They'll be like, oh my gosh, we love you. Like, you know, you make us feel okay. And I'm quite curvy. And so even women who like look up to me or connect to that curvy side of me and be like, you make us feel okay. Just by dancing, you make us accept ourselves, because we're not size zeros, we're not size two. You give us that, yes, it's okay to be me. And I look at them and go, gosh, if you only knew how grateful I am because of this thing that people might consider a hobby,
yeah.
A sport, a lifestyle, a career. Like, dance has changed the course of my whole life. Like, it's changed my whole narrative.
OT Mabusa,
Amen.
That is so powerful. I've got one more question for you.
Go on, you can ask me whatever you want. We've got a long way to go, Amy.
You've taken us on a long walk, OT. This is definitely more than a mile.
We're going that way.
What's your relationship like with Monday, start of the week?
I sometimes never know what day of the week it is.
Nice.
Because I'm so working, so I try not to have like a, oh, Monday is tough for me. I just go. I don't know what today is. I don't even know what is today.
It's Monday.
Today's Monday. I didn't even know today was Monday.
It's actually definitely not. It's I'm pretty sure it's Thursday.
You don't even know. Okay.
I feel like you're on know. When you're on, and you just roll full speed ahead.
I go. I just go. I don't know what week of, like, what day of the week it is. But I, like, Monday is always, I guess, a fresh start.
Yeah.
We begin again. We begin this turmoil, this conquering, this challenging ourselves. It's your way of saying, okay, we're at zero, fresh week, fresh mindset, new ideas. Let's go.
Brilliant.
That's my Monday. If I remember, it's Monday.
If you remember. normally the alarm's set a little bit earlier than the Sunday. Yeah. Depends on what you're doing, right?
Exactly. It's not even a weekly thing. I think my thing is a daily thing. I'm more of a morning person. So no matter what day of the week it is,
yeah,
great in the morning until 6 o'clock. Then I'm like, okay, we need to get to bed. We need to get to bed or go out.
More morning. Get up, seize the day, mm-hmm. and then early night.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yes.
That's the one.
That's it. If I'm not going out. Then it's early morning.
The whole way through, right? The whole way through.
The whole way through.
Any life mottos or takeaways for our listeners to leave on?
Oh my God.
To help them get up, get out of bed, and attack the start of the week.
I have so many. It just depends where I am in life. My fun one.
Yeah.
That really pushes me is failure to prepare is preparing to fail. So whatever I have coming up,
yeah,
if it's presenting, if it's interviewing, if it's being interviewed, I just like to be prepared so that I don't fail. So I failed a lot, a lot. But at the moment now, I guess there's a lot of changes that are happening in my life. It's staying where I am and thinking, if I don't make those changes, what is the alternative? That is the one thing, that if I stay in bed forever and I'll sleep and I claim that I'm happy but I'm not, what is the alternative? I'll never grow, I'll never get up, I'll never seize the day, I'll never be here, I'll never achieve the things that I achieve. So that is kind of my thing. If you're gonna stay where you are, stay unhappy, what is the alternative to being unhappy?
If that's not motivation to get up and get out of bed, I don't know what is. OT, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining us on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. And we are wishing you all the very best of luck in this evolution. I feel like it's just a constant cycle of growth. And being on the outside, it's really exciting to see and watch and see the energy that you radiate.
Thank you.
And to those of you that are tuning in and listening, we hope you have an absolutely wicked week. Monday Mile, it's a wrap.
Bye.